Hey, y'all. Let's take a look today at Luke chapter 16 and the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It starts in verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who pass from here to you may not be able, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." It's a very memorable parable, I want to make a comment, just a kind of a parenthetical comment about the parables. I would suggest that the things we remember of Jesus teaching the most are the parables. We remember, for example, the parable of the Good Samaritan or the parable of the prodigal son. Those stories, those fictions, those things that aren't real are the things that stick in our minds the most. And I would suggest that this is an important lesson for us, that it is often stories that capture our imaginations the most or get to our moral compass the most. So again, think about Nathan and his fiction that he told David that captured his imagination. So these parables are a very important way of teaching and memorable. And they're kind of like time bombs in our consciences because they can always come back up and we begin to probe them. So I want to underline again that since Luke chapter 11, Jesus has been having these escalating tensions with the Pharisees. At the beginning of 15, Jesus was at a Pharisee's house for a Sabbath meal, and he healed a man with dropsy that the Pharisee really ignored. And so all of these parables we can see aimed at the Pharisees. They're all connected in some way. Many of them have to do with money or with power or with resources and what we do with those resources. And in almost all of them, those with resources that don't use them for the benefit of the weak and needy are indicted. There's many connections that we could draw between the parables. For example, I think the welcome of Lazarus, to Abraham's side parallels the welcome of the father to the prodigal son. I don't think we're necessarily told to think that Lazarus was necessarily that righteous. It's just that he is finding relief and he's finding mercy. And we might say that Lazarus is like the man with dropsy, that the Pharisees themselves don't want to lift a finger to help, but Jesus wants to help them. We need to see all of these in an organic whole. Luke is a masterful storyteller, and he's showing us through these escalating tensions what's eventually going to lead to the cross. When we look at the parable itself, there's a couple of things worth noting. It says that the man was clothed in purple and linen. I don't think this just means he was very wealthy. Purple and linen in the scripture are specifically associated with priestly attire in the temple. In addition, Esther is clothed with purple and linen. And so I think that these images are both priestly images and royal images. The idea here seems to be that the leadership of Jerusalem, the leadership of Israel, is here indicted in this rich man. They are the rich man sumptuously clothed. In addition, it says that he feasted every day on fine food. The words here rhyme with words in the Greek Old Testament for the feasts, the festivals of Israel. So again, I think we're meant to see this rich man as the leadership in Israel, who are dining sumptuously, but yet here's this man Lazarus at his doorstep. Looking at Lazarus, his name is derived from the Hebrew name Eliezer, which is spelled two different ways. There's a couple of different Eliezers in the Old Testament. The name means God is my help. One of those Eliezers was Aaron's son, so another priestly figure. So we have this figure who seems to be maybe a representative of pious Israel, but he's sick. And again, he's in a degraded position, and his position might remind us again of the prodigals who was longing for the food that he fed to pigs. Here this man is licked by dogs, which dogs were very unclean to the Israelites. He has boils on them. They remind us of the boils on Egypt when God judged Egypt during the 10 plagues. They also remind us of Job, who had boils all over his body. He was a righteous man, but he suffered, and God ultimately helped him. So there's all kinds of connections there with the rest of Scripture we should note. And so in their final condition, they have this dialogue, and commenters point out that it's interesting that the rich man still is assuming a superior position. He's still assuming Lazarus is like a servant of his that he can command around. Well, just send him down here to give me a drink. Of course, he can't do that. And so his thought is immediately well, I don't want anybody else to come to the state that I'm in. Please send Lazarus to tell my brothers. Again, he's wanting to boss Lazarus around. But Abraham says, well, they have Moses and the prophets. And that should make us think of the verses just before when Jesus has told the Pharisees that they don't live up to Moses and the prophets. They have tons of divorce in their midst. And here he's suggesting that the greatest testimony they have is Moses and the prophets, yet they're not listening to that testimony. And ultimately he says, well, no, but the point is if somebody comes back from the dead, they'll believe. And Jesus says, no, even if they come back from the dead, they won't believe. And I think in one level he's saying, look, it's not just a matter of proof. It's not just a matter of having enough evidence. They are hard-hearted, and their problem isn't proof. But more than that, I think Jesus is here speaking of his own resurrection. He is going to be raised from the dead and be a messenger from the dead and a messenger from a place where he can say, listen, there's a judgment that you're going to fall into if you don't enter the kingdom through me. But many of the leadership in Israel refused to listen. And so this whole parable is once again for the Pharisees and for other leaders in Israel. They are the ones with authority. They're the ones with resources. And they have abused those resources, they've enriched themselves, they haven't helped out the weak. They refuse to hear and really live out the teachings of Moses and the prophets. And so they're indicted. And we could see this Lazarus as those who are responding positively to Jesus' message. He's opening wide his kingdom. He's letting, as it were, the riffraff in. Anybody who will come and say, yes, I want to be a part of this kingdom and I want to be your student in life. And so may we be like Lazarus. May we respond to Jesus' invitation to be his students. May we enter the kingdom graciously through him and the grace he gives. And may we not be like the rich man who refused that invitation. Amen.